Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en.
This. There we go. Okay, we're back on. All right, Claire, so I just wanted to welcome you on board to CICK.
Thank you, Tom.
And we're going to have an interesting program tonight. Claire is, Clara Donnelly, and I'm calling her a healthcare professional on her journey through life. And so, Claire, when we try to get on this show, my listeners and I are kind of interested in how you got to Smithers, and were you born in Smithers, or, you know, that sort of profile of a person on our interview. And I know that you were born in Mexico. Can you tell me a little bit about your birth and your life down in Mexico?
Yes, I was born in Mexico City. Both my parents are Mexicans, and I am number 6 of 7 siblings.
Wow.
Yes, I'm number 6, and after me, 6 years after me, after being the queen for 6 years, my brother came, my youngest brother.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
And so that being born in Mexico City, were you raised there also?
I was raised there from birth till I was 13 years old.
Okay, so you did see quite a bit of Mexico City. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's a big city, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a big city, but it's full of amazing culture and history.
Yeah. And life.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple times, and I always felt rather than trying to see the whole city, we'd just sort of concentrate on one area, one block, and just got to know the people in that area a little bit, you know, and it was kind of felt kind of nice that way.
Yeah, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was born and raised, and then we moved to Cuernavaca, Morelos. Morelos is another state of Mexico. It's kind of by southeast or so. And it's Cuernavaca is the capital of Morelos, and it's a big city, like maybe 2 million people or so, and it's full of uphills and downhills and ravines.
Right.
Lots of vegetation, lots of beautiful flowers and vegetation all over the place, and beautiful. It's a beautiful place. So I grew the rest of my teenage years, and part of my adult life was in Cuernavaca.
I see.
Yes.
And it's a fairly mountainous area, would you say? Yeah. Like there is a mountain range that goes through Mexico.
There's mountains. Yeah.
And so you're saying up and down, you got a lot of exercise wandering around.
Yeah.
Going to school and whatever.
Yeah.
And so when you were there, then that's where you went to university. You had an opportunity.
I did.
Your parents were fairly well off, they were able to send you there.
Yes. We have, all of us had all the opportunity to get good education, and I did study. We were also educated in bilingual schools, private schools. So, we were very fortunate. And my parents always wanted us to have bilingual education because they knew that it was going to be very helpful.
In the future.
In the future, and it definitely has been very helpful for all of us in different areas.
And the second language was English, was it?
Yes, English.
So it could have been like Arabic or...
but it was English.
So what did you study when you were...
When I went to university, the first I studied, it was pedagogy, you know? So it's like pedagogy is what you study to be... more like a teacher of teachers kind of thing, you know, and you make programs and plans for schools. But when I was, after 3 semesters, I realized that it was not for me. I didn't really like it that much. So I quit.
Right.
And then I had to wait 6 months to get into another
program,
and this was in Cuernavaca, because the first one was in Mexico City. So I traveled to Mexico City, but then the next degree was in Cuernavaca, Morelos, at the Universidad Autónoma del Estado de Morelos, so Autonomous University of Morelos. And I studied, it's called human communication, but it's all about special needs.
Oh, okay.
Study.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like, you would say that I'm like a child development specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied all about normal and pathological development in children. Very interesting.
I can imagine. Very interesting.
4 years and a half.
Did you feel that that was part of your upbringing? Like you had a big family, you were helping your sisters and brothers, and you felt that maybe you liked to work with children and that type of, was that a?
No, well, I didn't help anybody actually, because, you know, I'm number six. So actually, yeah. I was kind of the little one for, as I said, for 6 years. No, I just, ever since I was young, I thought that I wanted to work with children.
Right.
I wanted to be a elementary teacher for a
while. Okay.
Then I changed my mind, and yeah, it was always towards children.
Mm-hmm.
It became to work with special needs children, mostly neurological problems, but also then I started working with the parents, and then I studied a master's. I finished a master's degree in clinical psychology for children.
Okay.
I did all the coursework, though, but I didn't write the thesis. I got really busy working, and the time
just
flew.
Wasn't there. Yeah.
And then I missed the opportunity. So, but I have all the knowledge, right?
Right.
So that stayed with me.
And they can't
I
take
loved
that away.
It. No, they can't take that away.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So from that program, then, did you come out and go to work in Mexico?
I worked in Mexico, yes, as a special needs education teacher in preschool level.
Okay.
And by the government public schools. And so I worked there for like 13 years. But part of that, when I finished my master's, they called me to work in the psychotherapy department. So I worked for... I worked for children who have been sexually abused.
Right.
So that was difficult.
That can be very difficult.
Very sad to
see.
Yes. So I was involved in that for a while.
It's a very difficult field to be involved in.
Yes.
So then from that sort of that education, that work process, you had at some point you had to, did you travel? Like, how did you actually run into your husband?
Well, so this is a love story. I cannot say otherwise.
Right.
but actually, when I was working with sexually abused children, I was getting really stressed.
Mm-hmm. I can
As
imagine.
You can
that.
Imagine
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And my boss at that time, she was very demanding.
Right.
So she was not helping out with that stress. And no matter what, if they called us during the weekend, we have to go and work through crisis. So it was pretty tough. So by that time, I was single, and a friend of ours from my family, who happens to be a Canadian, he came to visit us at Cuernavaca, and then we just started talking, and then he just said, "Oh, I have a friend who is single, and he lives in a town called Smithers in British Columbia, and he's." He loved horses. He's a forester. He painted a really great
nice picture.
Of the
yeah,
guy.
right.
A really nice picture of the guy.
He was a good matchmaker.
I think he was. Yeah. And anyway, so he just, I said, well, why don't you send me some pictures or something?
Yeah,
right? But anyway, time flew. And the next, I had to wait for a year when things got really stressful at work. And
right.
I called my friend. I said, "Hey, what happened to the pictures or stuff? And you never sent me anything."
Yeah,
and he said, "Oh, yeah, I didn't. Sorry about that." And I said, "Well, is your friend still single?" Because I was single at that time too, right?
Right.
And I was trying to get off about a problematic relationship. So anyway, I asked him, "Well, can you ask me to call me or something?" I said, "Oh, he's very shy, but I'll give you his email."
Right, right.
So he gave me his email, and I just very straightforward. "I'm Clara. Bernie has told me a lot about you. Can you want to meet?" And then 3 days later, he emailed me back and saying that Bernie had told him all about me. So anyway, we just started emailing each other.
Communicating for
a month. And it happens that his parents, he was in Smithers, but his parents were living in Keremias.
Okay. So in the Okanagan.
In the Okanagan. And my friend lives in Summerland. Summerland is very close.
Yeah, right.
So he said, my parents live in Keremias. They are always asking me to come for Easter because that was March. And I told him, oh, yeah, I'm going to visit Bernie in April. So he said, well, why don't we meet there?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we met at my friend's, at Bernie's in Summerland, and the rest is history.
Right.
Yeah, right. Because it was really fast. We fell in love really fast. It was beautiful. It was a really magical moment.
Yes.
Really great holidays, and that put my blood pressure down.
yeah,
and
that's good.
And that's how our story started, and we actually were just dated for 5 years, coming and going.
Right,
so I came
right.
to Smithers, he came to Mexico.
Like a long-term relationship?
It was a long-term, but it lasted.
It worked its way through.
It worked, and in 2000, that was 2000 when we met, mm-hmm. and in 2005 we got married.
Nice.
And we got married in Keremias, actually.
Wow.
In a beautiful April 26, 2005, with 30 degrees temperature.
Wow.
I know. Wow. It's like, and my parents came to my wedding, and it was, I think, for me, it was as if God said, okay, here's my present for you, my wedding present.
Right.
Give you a beautiful, sunny, hot day as if you were in Mexico.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was all... It was
just wonderful.
It was wonderful. Yeah. So then that's how I started living here in Canada.
Right. So Keremias has a really cool... mill pond. I don't know if you had a chance there. It would have been a good place to get married, where they've got that wheel that turns, and it's a historic spot.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's all
but
good.
But it's a beautiful little village.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful little place,
and they have tremendous fruit and vegetables there.
It's really
a growing area.
You see all the stands of the peaches and cherries, and it's so delicious.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Claire, we try to play a few songs as we go through our conversation. And the one that I wanted to start off with, I've only got a short version of, but it's Catchet Turian. It's the waltz from, what is that, Masquerade?
Masquerade. Yeah. That's one part of the whole symphony, segment.
Maybe we could chat about it a little bit after we listen to it, because it's kind of connected to your mother.
Oh, yes.
And I wanted to know just a little bit about your mother.
Okay,
so let's see how this sounds.
Okay.
So Catchet Turian is a Russian composer.
Yeah, he's the author.
Yeah. So he's the guy that put this together.
Yes.
And this is a quintet. They're called Allegro.
Yeah, that's kind of a different interpretation.
Yeah,
I really like it with a whole orchestra.
I have that also there
it's still beautiful.
And get in there.
It's still beautiful.
And it really is. So I found several versions of this song.
Yeah.
Or this composed piece. Yes. Now, you said your mother was and father were into concert
classical music.
Right.
Yeah, that was their love.
Part of their love.
It was the classical music. They both shared that love.
And they would dance?
My mom used to tell us that when they were dating, and she was 16 or 17, I can't recall exactly. She had a very big kind of living room, and my father used to go and sit there, and she would dance for him.
Oh, okay.
So she would love this type of music,
yeah.
And to dance, and my father would just love to see her dance.
Right.
Yeah, so I always remember that because I can see in my imagination, I can see my mother dancing around and being happy and in love.
Yeah.
They were
yeah.
so much in love.
So. Yes.
It's a beautiful love story, and every time I hear it, it just brings me chills, you know, it gives me the chills because it's just transporting myself to that time as if I was like back to the future. No, yeah, back to the
past.
Well, past, right? Yeah, I was just remembering the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
exactly.
That you can go and see your parents when they were young. That must be.
That would be pretty amazing, wouldn't it?
I know. Right?
Just amazing time.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Well, let's just, that was only a 1-minute version. So let's squeeze this other one in through London Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit different. That one was, I thought it was quite bright.
Oh, yeah, that's what I love most. The orchestra.
It's a bigger orchestra.
Oh, yeah, it's the whole deal. Yes. So, violins and everything.
Now, Clara, that's the thing that I love about radio is you have to use your imagination, and your imagination is just there. When
yeah.
you hear this music,
oh, yeah.
you're backed with your mother
yes.
in the past, you know,
yeah.
and it's kind of cool when that can happen.
Very
you
cool,
know?
Yeah.
So, Clara, now talking, we'd kind of slipped that in because that music was sort of aligned with your mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about when you got married, you were courting for 5 years, and you had a long-term relationship where you would be flying back and forth.
Yes.
And that's an interesting relationship to survive all that that time period, you know.
I know.
Because it's not easy, you know, when you're away from each other and trying to work it out, and everybody's got to work so that we can keep going and pay for the flight and so on. You know?
Yeah, I know. And I should have, now that I think about it, that we have a song I should have told you about that song before, but anyway.
I was wondering about that, whether there was a song at the wedding. Did you?
Yes, we danced to our song because it's exactly the story of our journey.
Right.
It's a Shania Twain song.
Okay.
Yes, oh, I'm talking about Canadian.
Yeah, exactly.
Shania Twain, and it's the name of the song is Still the One.
Still the One.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds.
And that is perfect because in one of the lines or the lyrics it says they thought we would never make it, but look where we are right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it talks like a kind of like it took a long time.
Exactly.
So it is perfect. So we chose that song for our reception, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That was in
so Canada. Like the first dance.
Yeah, it was the first dance, and it was.
Well, we've got the technology got here.
Yeah. It's
let's play it while we're at it right now, just to bring us back to the wedding.
Oh, thank you.
Let's see if they can.
Yes.
Oh, that one. I like that song.
Look how far we've come, my baby. We might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together. Still going strong. Still, you're still the one I run to, the one that I belong to. You're still the one I want for life. You're still the one that I love, the only one I dream of. You're still the one I kiss.
Doesn't that just fit?
Wow.
It fits so perfect
so
to your
perfect.
Relationship, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Because we were from different countries.
Yeah, and it's so...
And people were saying, you're not going to make it five years.
No, it's impossible.
That's for dummies.
Yeah. Well, Claire, now that's a question that I would ask your husband. And How did you decide you were going to stay in Smithers versus him moving down to Mexico where it's hot and he can go swimming and all that all year round? So how did you make that decision?
Oh, well, actually, it was not that difficult because he cannot stand the heat.
Right.
He cannot stand the heat. I never thought I was going to live in a cold country, but, you know, love transforms can move mountains. So I didn't have a problem because I was very much in love. I knew the language very well.
Yes.
So, and I have a career, and I mean, many things that I could do in another country. And he doesn't speak Spanish, and he tried, but he's not, he said, oh, I just didn't get it. So he just knows a few words here and there.
Right.
But, so it was easy.
Yeah.
Actually, it was easy. I have never been afraid of change, never. Never.
Right.
I think that my parents gave me a lot of self-confidence growing up, so I have always been very sure of myself. And knowing that I can do whatever I want to.
Yes.
And as I said, I was just very much in love. So that made it easy. And I did come, you're right, because I was coming back and forth. So I knew Smithers was small. I knew that he was, that he didn't have any other siblings. He had a sister, but she passed away. So it was just him and his parents.
Right.
And his parents were in Quirimias, and he was in Smithers.
Right, right.
So it took a while because, you know, for me, I had a big family in a big country.
Right.
With many things that would be against me deciding to come. But
right. Well, I think it's great.
Yes. I think great. It's a really nice love story. People
it's pretty,
like it.
Pretty
people
pretty nice.
Like it when I tell the story.
Yeah, exactly. So this was the other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about, Clara, is when you came here, like you've got a lot of skills and you probably could climb up a fairly big ladder in the healthcare world.
Mm-hmm.
The ladder here might be a little shorter, but you still have an opportunity to get a job. And did you have any trouble actually landing a job?
Oh, actually none whatsoever. So when I got married, I applied for residency right away. And at the same time, I applied also for a job permit.
Right.
A work permit. And so I got married, and 9 months after, I got both things 1 week apart.
Wow.
Anyway, so I got it, and I did, to be honest, at the beginning, I thought, oh, my God, I hope that I can get a job in my field. I wouldn't like to be working other way in other place because I have the skills to put into.
And you put the time in to get there.
And I put the time, right? So anyway, there was, at that time, Smithers Community Services Association was asking for foster parent support.
Right.
A behavioral consultant, actually. The program was called Foster Parent Support Program. So I just revamped my resume, and I just applied for the job, and they gave me the interview. And I applied. So I got the interview. Actually, it was a two-day interview. They had a lot of questions for me.
Yeah.
But because I've never been to that formal interview, I was not nervous at all. So when I got there the first day, like 5-6 people sitting around.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
But I was fine.
Yeah.
And so I did. I succeed. So they gave me the job.
That must
so
have been
I was
great.
Very, very happy and really proud of myself.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I got the job.
Yeah.
I worked there for 7.5 years. Then I moved on to another job. While I waited for something else, I was between jobs, and I worked for High Road Services Society.
I worked with
special
needs
adults and for a year, and then I moved to BC Schizophrenia Society.
Right.
I really wanted to do more, and there was a job posting, and I applied. It was 24 hours a week, and I was used to full time. So then I stayed with High Road for a few months, and then I found another job with Dengarry Professional Services. That is to help adults with disabilities find a home to live, families can.
Right.
So I did that for a while, both jobs, and then it got too much.
Yeah.
It got too much. It was like 40 hours or so. So I got kind of a little bit of I needed a break, and so I left Dengarry. I stayed with BCSS, and I had 24 hours, but they found more hours for me. So it was all
It was working out perfect.
It was our work. So in the end, I got 30 hours.
Yeah,
so
which is probably a really good amount.
Beautiful because I always have a long weekend.
Yeah.
I don't like Mondays. I never liked Mondays. Ever since I was little, I hated Mondays.
Yeah.
I didn't like Sundays. Sundays evenings, I was always anxious for the school, going to school. So the same thing with work. Anyway, so
it worked out really well.
Perfect.
For you.
I work from Tuesday to Friday and 30 hours, and I have my own office. It's really great.
It sounds
it's
a pretty good setup. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, pretty good setup. And I've been there for 11 years and a half.
Wow.
Working for BCSS.
Right. Well, that sounds very interesting.
Oh, I know. It is.
Well, listen, before we get more into Smithers, let's have one song from Mexico that we have. You've picked out one of your artists here.
Luis Miguel, La Vikina.
Yeah, and his name is Luis.
Luis Miguel.
Miguel. Yeah, I just say it slower because I can't speak as fast as you. And it's called La Vikina En Vivo.
En Vivo. Okay.
Does that sound like it could be?
Life, yeah.
Life.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the different versions from him.
Okay, let's give it a try.
Okay.
Dicen que tiene una pena, dicen que tiene una pena que la hace llorar. Altanera preciosa y orgullosa, no permiten la quieran consolar. Pasa luciendo su real majestad, pasa en camino a los míos sin verlos jamás. La Divina tiene pena y dolor. La Divina no conoce el amor. Altanera preciosa y orgullosa, no permite ni la quieran consolar. Dicen que alguien ya vino y se fue. Dicen que pasa las noches llorando por él. ¡Mi mariachi!
There's so many beautiful songs. There's so many beautiful songs. And
there
so
really is. And when you get a song like that, like I don't understand Spanish well enough to keep up with it.
Right.
But I just love the language is a very musical language.
Yeah.
It's a very pretty language.
Yeah, it's romantic language.
Yeah, very romantic. And I, you know, we have our Alex Cuba in Smithers.
Oh,
and most of his songs are
beautiful.
In Spanish, but it's very beautiful music.
Well,
yeah.
Yes.
It kind of can take you to Mexico.
He's a poet, you know.
Yeah,
he's a poet.
Yeah.
Alex
no, it's pretty
Cuba
nice.
Is a poet, and I just love his songs because I definitely can understand everything.
Yeah.
So he's amazing,
it's
and we're so
beautiful.
Proud to have him here.
We're very, very fortunate.
Yes, for sure.
So, Claire, at this point, where we're sort of halfway in our program, then I like to remind our listeners that we are CICK, Smithers Community Radio. We're 93.9 on the FM dial, and we're also... We like to have a shout out to our sponsors. We're a kind of a volunteer organization, and we do spend a bit of money, but we're not actually working in the bush making it. So we have people that help support us.
Yeah.
So I give a little shout out to my sponsors. I'm on the bronze group, and I've got Classic Sanitary. I've got Bugwood Bean. I've got Accounting on Broadway. And I've got Community Radio Fund, and I've got Phoenix Self-Care Studio. And I just want to say I really appreciate their help. And I've been trying to get some of the sponsors to come down for a radio show, and last week I did have Ranch House Tattoo, which was kind of fun. Yeah, so we were able to learn a little bit about the sponsor and that, so that was kind of fun. So carrying on now with your life in Smithers. Now, do you have any children, Clara?
No, I.
And
don't.
You and your husband have bought a house. He
yes.
had his original house in town when he was here.
Yeah, he was renting. He was renting a little house on 4th.
Oh, okay.
When I came here, and then we stayed there for a bit. Well, for a year or two, because we were looking for a new place actually, because his landlord really needed the house back.
Right.
So we looked and we found a nice, really nice place in Telqua at that time.
Oh, nice.
In 2006, May 2006, we moved to Telqua to the Woodland Subdivision.
Right, right.
And
that's
we lived on Chestnut Crescent.
Right.
That it's at the top, so it was a really nice view. It was a beautiful home, and we enjoyed it. We lived there for 17 years.
Wow.
But yeah. I really was pushing to come to Smithers because
right.
I don't really like
driving
in the
yeah.
snow. And
yeah.
then driving at night, it was getting like scary for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just had one bad experience. So I didn't want to. I really wanted to be here in Smithers and being part of everything and being this cocoon that I called.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, it's like a little, it's a cocoon where I have everything I need and want. And to
and
get more involved in, because I like to be involved in committees
yeah,
and many things, whatever I can do.
And it's very difficult to travel from Telqua for an hour meeting.
Yes.
When you've gone home and then you got to come back, it doesn't work very well.
Yes.
And I felt the same way, Claire, when I moved to Smithers. It gives you a chance to go to a book reading at the library or the little things that
little
are going
things.
On, you know, that are
you're
part
just,
of the community.
Yeah, you're just there 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and you're there. Right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's beautiful.
Which is, it's pretty amazing that we have that access, you know.
Yes.
So the jobs that you spoke about, like now as a healthcare professional, like it's not an easy lifestyle. You have to be bent that way that this is what you want to do. You're a caring person,
yes.
a helping person, you know?
Yes.
And there must be times when it can become overwhelming.
Oh, yes, it does. It can be.
Do you have any escape plans for that? Like, do you paint or do you like to listen to music? Or?
Well, I like to listen to music. I don't paint, but I like to color.
Right, right.
I'm not a painter, but I like to color and I love to color. And for some reason, the only time of the day that I really feel like doing it is like 8:30, 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
It's just
right.
when it relaxes me and I just love that and I love the combination of colors and that. So I love to color, but I also have two little beautiful little dogs.
Okay.
Murphy and Smokey.
Right.
That are my children and I they're like my little kids and I love them. They're 5 years old now. Oh, time flies. But anyway, I used to have another one before in Telqua, Cody, who was a Pomeranian, but he passed away.
Right.
A few years ago. Well, like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I love going for a walk with them. And there's on the trails.
Yes.
You know, I'm very close to the trails. So I love to see them happy, you know, walking and carefree, and just reminds me of how life needs to be, right?
That's the right, worst. Right.
Life is supposed to be like that, happy and carefree, well, getting excited about treats and walks.
Yes. And, well, you know, in a sense, in a small sense, we do live in a bit of a cocoon in Smithers. It's a little bit of a bubble from the rest of the world. We hear the news coming in, and we don't have the same level of tragedy.
Oh, my God, no.
You know, because there seems to be a lot of tragedy in the world right now. But, you know, every person that you have to deal with has their own trauma within their life.
Oh, yes.
And you're finding a way to try to help them sort of understand and deal with it. How do you...
Well, actually, I work with the parents, so I support the family members.
Mm-hmm.
It can be the parents or a caregivers. Wife or a husband or a daughter and a son. So the caregivers. So I work with them. I support them by giving them resources, education, support. I have two support groups, and I support one-on-one. So everything that they need to know about mental illness and everything they need to know about that specific illness that their loved one is living with.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
So they need to understand what's happening and how can they help them better. So that's what I do. And we have programs for schools and different things, different outreach programs.
Right.
We want the main goal is to fight stigma about mental illness.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that is not an easy
operation. It's not. People are afraid.
Yeah.
Many people are afraid of people living with mental illness. They're afraid. And unfortunately, we have had tragedies happening with people that are mentally unstable. And what we're trying is to bring education so you can read the red flags and help people and bring them to the attention of the... of the system or private care, you know, like us or nonprofits. This is not private, sorry, it's a nonprofit, but just to know what it is and how can we help them better.
Yes, exactly.
It's a community work. It's all working together.
Yes. I think that word is very important, community. And that doesn't just, it's not only in your field, it's in all the fields that we need to, you know, work as a community. It's like teachers at school or whatever. There is a community that brings those children up, you know. So I think we have a little bit of that here in Smithers, I feel like. But are you feeling that you have enough, resources for what you do? Is there a need for more? Like, do we need another person working with you? Do we need more educational?
Well, yeah, there's always room for more, definitely, right? It's just there's not enough resources, financial resources to get more people. So, yes, you have to do whatever you can with what you have.
Yes.
And partner.
Yes.
I partner with other agencies, right? On a nonprofit and also Northern Health with the clinicians and social workers and life skills workers. Everybody who is in the mental health field, and we work together. We try to network. We try to support each other, make referrals, and whatever you can do.
Right.
And I also, my region is pretty vast because it's Smithers, Houston, Hazleton, Stewart, and Dease Lake.
Right.
But as you can imagine, Dease Lake is 8 hours and a half, so it's kind of difficult to be going there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I do what I can with what I have.
Yes.
And what's important for me is when you love what you do and you have passion, that helps.
I think that helps a lot.
People listen to you.
Yeah, yes. Because you care about
it. You care.
Yeah.
They know that it's not a job, just a job. It's like, what would you call it?
Well, you're kind of almost like a partner in their life to a certain extent. You have to know what their problems are, and then you have to determine how you can help them.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And what I was going to say is like a calling.
Yes.
That's the word.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a calling. And you have to become a team.
Yeah.
It's not just about you. It's about, is the family, is the doctors, is the clinicians. It's also the community.
Yes.
Friends.
Yes.
So we become a team to try to understand the person living with a mental illness. It's like a person-centered approach, I would call it. Have them part of that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like you really care for your job, Clara, and that's very important in
a
job.
I am blessed to have be working in something that I really like, that I really love, and I have a really great setting, and I'm very grateful for that.
Let's slip in a song while we're at that point. We've got a couple more, and we did have your Canadian song, Shania Twain, slipped in there, but we still have Gordon Lightfoot. Do you have a bit of a like for him?
Yeah. I do like that Sundown.
Kind of a folk singing type guy, and he's got he's also like a poet, like you were talking about Alex Cuba. You know, this guy is
a poet.
They've been able to write something down and then put music to it. Okay, so let's see how this sounds here. Right there.
See her lying back in her satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. She's been looking like a queen in a sailor's dream, and she don't always say what she really means. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Sometimes I think it's a shame. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sometimes I think it's a sin when I feel like I'm winning when I'm losing again.
That's a pretty cool
song.
Yeah, it's a great song. We actually had a chance to see Gordon in Prince George a few years ago, and he's quite an amazing performer. Kind of neat to have that.
So he's still performing.
He's passed away since then.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
When did he pass?
Just about 2 years ago, I think. I don't know exactly, but he had quite a life.
Yes.
Wrote a massive amount of
songs.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Claire, now I had the opportunity to see you at a theater group in town.
Yes.
And you seemed to have an interest in theater, and you were talking about possibly trying to put together a play sort of based around mental health and this community of helping this person with their problems. Do you see that that's something that you could develop?
I would really love to. I am actively trying to get some volunteers, some people help out. So yeah, the theater group, I've been asking around the group to see who could be, who would like to mm-hmm. volunteer for this. There's actually two plays that were written by some puppets. I have four puppets in my office that are actually the size of Muppets, so they're really cute. And I used to have a theater stage with some volunteers, and we used to go to the schools to play those, to show those.
Right, right.
But my idea now is to make them come alive, meaning that use people to do the plays mm-hmm. instead of puppets.
Oh, I
and
see.
And that I could bring around the Oakley Valley. And and one talks about anxiety, and mm-hmm. it's called On the Edge. And the other one is What Are Friends For? And it's about psychosis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, psychosis is one of the main symptoms of mental illness when people lose touch with reality. That's psychosis.
Okay.
In a nutshell.
Right.
So I'm really excited about the possibility to get it going. But it's difficult when people are working.
You're right.
And are
everybody's
busy.
So busy.
But I'm just. Well, I
think
I will keep pushing for it.
Yeah, I think it's. So you actually have a play, or you have a script.
Yeah, I have a script for both of them.
Oh, okay,
they're really good. They're really good, and it will bring a lot of education for people in a kind of a fun way, because it's always interesting to see.
Puppets,
play,
yeah,
know?
And plays, yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good medium or a good venue
to bring education
to
information.
People. And then maybe doing that through some of the schools would be a good way, you know, or maybe starting at, say, grade 6 or 5.
Well, so the puppets were initially for grade 3, 4, and 5. 6,
okay.
They think that it's kind of
too much.
Old for
them.
So what I'm trying is to get, instead of the puppets, you do it with people,
right?
So
right.
We can reach out to every
every age group, right? Right. Well, that sounds real interesting, actually.
Yes, it is.
And that is that's sort of one of your desires to do. Sort of, it's actually beyond your work scope. Doing working with theater like that?
Well, no. I mean, it is something. What I'm very blessed in my work is that we have leeway. Like, we can be creative.
Right.
The important
right.
thing is to bring to bring awareness of
mm-hmm.
mental illness
mm-hmm.
in different ways. So, so whatever you can do to bring awareness, it's really good.
Yeah. That
sounds. And I love it because I love to act. I realized when I was little, they thought I was going to be an actress, but then I don't know what happened. I didn't follow those steps.
Right.
But I love doing that.
Yeah.
And I've been enjoying this group. And as I said, if I was in Telqua, I wouldn't come.
No, exactly.
Because it's 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
It's always the wrong timing. Well, listen, Claire, we're getting close to the end. I would really kind of like to play this. This Christmas song by Luis Miguel.
Oh, yes.
And it's in Spanish, but it's kind of, the English word is in there, Santa Claus.
Santa Claus is coming to town, Spanish.
In Spanish, and that is Llegó a la Ciudad.
Santa Claus llegó a la Ciudad.
Yep. Let's give it a try.
Porque Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Todo lo apunta, todo lo ve, sigue los pasos, estés donde estés. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Te observa cuando duermes, te mira al despertar. No intentes ocultarte de él, pues siempre te verá. Él sabe de ti, sabe de mí, lo sabe todo, intentes huir. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad. Sabe todo, no intentes huir. Santa Claus llegó, Santa Claus llegó, Santa Claus llegó a la ciudad.
Hey! Okay, that looked that was beautifully done. A lot of orchestra in there, and that kind of closed out our last song. I actually really enjoyed that part of it with Santa Claus in Spanish, you know. It's kind of fun.
The right time of the year to
Exactly.
Play that song.
Yeah. So, Claire, we're closing down here. We've got a couple minutes left. I did want to ask you one more question, and we don't have too much time to really delve into it, but you did mention that drugs are a serious worldwide problem.
Yes.
And I know that they we open these drug stores in the little towns and villages along the way, and I'm not really a positive push on that end of it. I think that we've got enough problems without having, you know, universal access to drugs.
Yes.
But what's your feeling on that?
Well, I'm not. It's kind of complicated, but I understand that some people, for example, they love marijuana, they like it, they identify with it, they help them. But it's controversial because we know that people who are genetically predisposed to schizophrenia
or addictions,
they by smoking marijuana, they can develop schizophrenia.
Right.
And then you can live with schizophrenia with the right support, but it doesn't go away.
No.
But you can live a good, productive life if you really
understand
it and the people that surrounds you. So it is very sad to see. I don't understand it. I think it's the evil of the world. Drugs are evil, and that's not the solution when you have a problem.
No,
it won't go away.
No, exactly.
It will make it worse.
So it's probably a very heavy subject that we could spend a lot more time talking about it. But I really appreciate you coming down, Clara.
Thank you.
We get to know a little bit more about your life, and we are very happy to do that here at CICK.
Thank you so much for inviting me and sharing the microphone with me.
I would really, really appreciate that. So I would like to thank my listeners for joining us, and they can always tune in. We are archived, and if we go to smithersradio.com, you can pick up the show. All the shows are available. So thank you very much, and we're going to just play our outro and see if we can close out this show.
Goodbye and Merry Christmas.
And same to you, Claire.
Yeah. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.
How long have you been doing this, the radio thing?